What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, August 26th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes, 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby lose in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
At Tim Austin.
What's wrong with the coffee? What did you do? You took a sip and then you looked at it.
A little sippy cup. I think it cut my lip.
Oh, no.
It's turned on me.
Greg. Oh, no. You've never been a fan. This isn't going to get you into good graces.
I'm fine with the sippy cups. I'm just not okay with the paper straws.
But you prefer the old days, the old straws. Mm-hmm. You don't care about the dolphins and the puffer fishes.
I care about the dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like it does.
Doesn't sound like it does, people, does it?
That's what I read online.
Exactly.
I bought Echo the Dolphin. I bought that game.
That didn't save any dolphins.
I bought it used.
That definitely didn't help the developer
it didn't
or the
help
dolphin.
Funko Land?
No, it helped Funko Land, sure.
Did
and
it?
Now look
for
what happened.
Time.
Because of you, Imran Khan fired.
Lost his job.
You know what I mean? That's on you, his
Damn,
layoff.
Dude. Hey,
all because
maybe
of
you guys shouldn't support the dolphins then. Shit.
You never know. It's like a butterfly flaps its wings over there. Layoffs are kind of funny.
They don't
Nobody
call it the dolphin effect.
They don't call it the dolphin effect. That's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that. How was your weekend, Tim?
Fucking goddamn, it was amazing.
Oh, did you sleep?
Oh my God. No, I slept a good amount. I didn't sleep Tim amount. But like, for some reason, I kept waking up at like 9 a.m., which if I left to my own accord, wouldn't do. But I had this itch this week, Greg. I was going to save this for Gamescast, but here we are talking about it.
Sure. Yeah.
I had this itch because I've been really bummed about this Spider-Man MCU news.
Of course, who hasn't?
Like, you know what, though? I need to show my boy some love.
Yeah.
I still haven't platinumed the game.
You haven't?
Very close.
Coward.
Very
okay.
close. I was like, fuck it, I'm going back. I'm going
Hell
back.
Hell yeah.
Then I went back. Turns out, not as close as I thought that I was.
No.
But your boy put in 10 hours this week.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. I got carried away. I like stalled on the platinum progress because
I was like,
I'll do that on a stream or something at some point.
Okay.
I think I have about 2 hours left.
What are the trophies left for you?
Just general crimes. Just finish districts.
Go through the districts.
But at this
final,
point,
guess,
it's
yeah.
literally just the blank out of five, and there's like a bazillion of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have like 25 left or something like that.
Perfect. That's no problem.
So that'll be a good time. But I went and 100%ed and got all the trophies in all of the DLCs.
Wow.
Yeah.
You new game plus yet?
No, that seems excessive. But the DLC stuff, there's a lot of content.
Oh, yeah. Tons
like,
of stuff.
When I played
Thank God there's more Screwball.
I had. Some of them are great. Some of them not so great. And to get the trophy, you have to get at least spectacular rating on all the Screwball stuff.
I know well.
Yeah. Did you do all that?
I didn't do New Game Plus, but I did all the Screwball Channel stuff,
For the three DLCs?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think I did it for the trophies. I can't remember this
I had 100%ed the Black Cat
Kevin,
one.
If you want to bring up psnprofiles.com/GameOverGreggy, we can solve this right now.
I had 100%ed the
Black Cat,
but I didn't get the spectacular on all the Screwball, so I had to go back and do all that. And then I was at like 60% for both of the other DLCs because I beat them, but I didn't do much of the extra stuff.
Yeah.
But then I went and did it all. And God, man, love this game.
So yeah, I have 72 of 74 trophies, so I'm definitely missing New Game Plus. Scroll on down, Kev, keep going. It's going to be at the DLCs at the bottom. DLCs at the bottom.
There are only two for New Game Plus.
Oh, is that? So I did all the DLC for. Scroll up, Kev. Thank you very much. Keep scrolling there. Turf Wars is done. Yeah. So yeah, it's just New Game Plus and then complete the difficulty on Ultimate Difficulty. I started those because we came out of Into the Spider-Verse, right? And it was the same thing. I gotta go play Spider-Man.
That spider itch.
I jumped in there and I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And I started New Game Plus and I did all this stuff. And I did it for a while. I got going. But then it was like, you know, as usual, something else I have to play comes around.
Yeah.
Something else distracts me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes. Speaking of distractions, today we're going to talk about Control reviews. We're going to talk about Ion Fury. We're going to talk about Persona franchise crossing more than 10 million copies sold because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, reviews, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to KindaFunny.com/YoreWrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, listening on podcast services, watching on RoosterTeeth.com around the globe. Printer and me not getting along again. Once again, one day I'll just move all digital. Well, I don't know when it's gonna happen.
This look fits with the paper and the
sure.
You know,
yeah. If you're an audio listener, I'm gonna tie again.
He's a pretty boy.
The problem I've talked about this before. The shirts here didn't require the black tie. I don't have a black tie here anymore. It's a whole thing. But today I thought ahead.
I'm trying to
get us back. Well, this is my real tie. This isn't my show tie. This is my normal real tie.
Looks real
but
nice.
I've noticed it's got some loose threads on it as well.
Well, shit.
So now it's become a show tie. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Housekeeping for you. My Control review is up. You can get it in today's Kinda Funny Games cast. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Podcast services around the globe. Wilfred L. is coming in In mere moments, dude, we have cool friends. Eric Matthews himself.
How excited are
Terry McGinnis. I'm super excited. We've been talking about this, me and him, for like four or five Comic-Cons of making this happen.
And now it's happening.
I think I remember in the spare bedroom.
Yeah.
Like trying to talk about getting him to come to spare bedroom days. You know what I mean? But it's happening today. You can catch that, of course, on podcast services around the globe. YouTube.com/Kind of Funny. PAX is this week for Kind of Funny events. Guild Wars 2 is doing an event Friday morning in Seattle. I'm hosting it. You can come. If you can't come, you can watch it on Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. Then Friday afternoon at 4:30, I'm doing a Kind of Funny Game Showcase PAX special. You can watch me talk to 10 amazing developers about their cool games you don't know about. And then if you're at PAX, go play them. If you're not at PAX, again, Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. Then Saturday at 9 p.m., I'll be a little bit drunk and hosting with Snowbike Mike the Kind of Funny Inner Sight Championship. As usual, it's our annual thing where we're all playing for the Per Schneider Championship Trophy Cup. You know what I mean? You can come watch that 9 p.m. At PAX or kindoffunny.com. Shit, I fucked it up because I saw the other one over there.
Slash events?
No, well, yeah, that's where you go to. That don't go there. Well, you could go there. It's just Twitch. It's on our Twitch. But then if you want to get the whole PAX rundown, kindoffunny.com/events.
Got it.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart in Brooklyn, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report. Kevin, I want to reach out to you and compliment you, as I often do, on both doing the dots and the dashes in the Morse code for the Roper Report. I saw today on the subreddit someone giving Barrett the old heave-ho because he only does the dots. And I thought it was one of the funniest subreddit posts I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Number one.
It's also one of the most Kevin Coelho things that he would never let himself not do it correctly. And I appreciate that.
Because Kevin respects his job.
He does.
You know what I mean? He understands what he's doing over there.
He definitely respects the obscurities of life.
Sure.
Like Morse
code.
Kevin,
do you know Morse code? Because that sounds like something you would know.
I do not.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
How long do you think it would take you to learn it?
Well?
No. Kevin Coelho levels.
Couple hours.
Yeah, I think you could get us going. Number one on the Roper Report, the control review embargo has lifted right now. And I say in quotes right now, basically an hour ago at 9:17 a.m. when I was gathering the Roper Report. The Metacritic sits at an 82.
Impressive.
Right. And you can go over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services. Listen to the Gamescast where I rant and rave for, 30 minutes in the beginning about it. And my favorite thing was we had that conversation where I hadn't talked to any other reviewers yet. I always loved this game. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally in the dark. And you and I had the conversation. You asked me of, like, where do you think it's going to fall? And I was like, it's going to be an interesting one because I can see it getting eights and I can see it getting sixes. And that's pretty much where it's netting out, right? Yeah. Like, it feels like that's the spread. There are a few low nines up there, but people in general, obviously, with an 82 are pretty happy with it. IGN gave it an 8.8. Over there, Jonathan Dornbush says, Control is set in an engrossingly weird paranormal world that I couldn't help but explore. Jesse's versatile psychic skills and main weapon make for thrilling ranged combat. And thanks to a strong supporting cast, a well-written script, and plenty of intriguing breadcrumb trails, I have thoroughly enjoyed my adventure through the shifting rooms of Oldest House. Jesse's personal story feels like an afterthought next to that, but there's enough to Control's world that I remain invested in covering every secret, even though the story's over. GameSpot gave it an 8, Peter Brown reports. It's not often that a game invades my thoughts the way Control has. I'm at the point, where I want to consume every last thing it has to offer. And, if I'm honest, it also makes me want to go back and replay Remedy's past games, too. Sure, it's a faulty Metroidvania in some respects, but there are so many exceptional qualities afoot that Control handily deflects any momentary ire. I can't wait to take part in discussions about the game, to see what others have figured out, and to better understand where it all fits into Jesse's story. And then one of the lower ones, Twinfinite, gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Ed McGlone says, Control is flawed in so many areas, and it's actually kind of incredible that I landed at the score I did. While I couldn't ignore or leave out all the issues I had with Control, at the same time, I couldn't pretend like I didn't have I didn't have a fun a lot of the time either. If Remedy just let Control get a little bit weirder and fully leaned into its Metroidvania-inspired gameplay, it could have been something really special. Sadly, that never happens. But in spite of itself, Control still winds up being an enjoyable, unique-feeling action game that isn't like anything else on the market right now and won't take up a ton of your time. I think a lot of those things echoing stuff I said, correct, Tim?
Yeah.
And that's why I want to bring in Trevor Starkey, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, we all know Trevor, former host on the Kinda Funny Games cast. Came back in the day. You recorded your initial, Greg, you recorded your initial reviews on Thursday, but we're still trying to determine if the game was good or great. Have you spent more time with it since then? And if so, how has it impacted which side of the line you fall on? Great question, Trevor. Of course, yeah, this is one of the big themes, I think, of the Control review, right? Yeah. That I had just beaten it. The nutshell review, right, is that at the time I was like, it's good, it's very good, but is it great? I like it, do I love it? I was in this weird spot because, as I kept saying in there, it reminded me of a PS2 or a PS3 game where at the end it kind of annoys you with its final boss fight. There's all the map's weird. There's all these little nagging things, right? Now, what? Monday removed from it. I have not played more, for the record. I wanted to all weekend long, but there's a whole bunch of embargoed games I'm playing right now for review for this week's Gamescast. I can handily say now that yes, it is great. Yes, I love it, because I couldn't stop thinking about it. It is that game that it's on my cross media bar and I'm jumping into the other things to review and I'm enjoying most of them and I'm playing them. But it's like that thing of every time I'd finish it and be like, all right, time to move on to the next thing. It was that like hover over Control for a second of like, but I really want to go back and get all the trophies. I really want to go do this. I think Dornbush, you know, he talks about how maybe it doesn't fold into Jesse's overall story as much, mm-hmm. but you still want to go get every secret and explore every room. That's where I'm at, where it's still that nagging thing. It's still pushing me to go play. So yeah, I think, you know, on the other side of it now, it is a game that I think I can definitely say I love it. I think it's great. You know what I mean? I stand by all my critiques of it. You know what yeah. I mean? I'm more in line in terms of a score with the GameSpot flat 8 probably than I am with the IGN 8.8 or the Twinfinite 3.5 out of 5. I think that's where I'd put it, right around there, plus or minus. But of course, thank goodness I'd be working on a 20-point scale, not a 100-point scale. So I guess I would stay at the 8. Yeah. But no, I miss Control, which is something I don't say about a lot of games. And I'm excited to get back to it whenever that may happen. This is definitely a game that... So many games I leave in my cross media bar, I'll get back to that eventually, and I never do. Control is one that I definitely will. Yeah. I'm definitely going to get back and platinum it because I've already put in so much work to it. I'm already so far along mm-hmm. in it.
It's just as well.
To get back, pound it, and like especially for it to jump back in and complete the side missions I haven't, the side quests I haven't. Yeah, I'm super stoked that it's doing well for Remedy, obviously. They've been friends of mine, I guess. You know what I mean? They're a developer who's been friendly with us for a long, long time or whatever. And I enjoyed Quantum Break. I enjoyed Alan Wake. I enjoy their Max Payne originally. So it's cool that they're doing well. And I'm glad to see it's resonating with people. And I'm glad to see, as I talked about in the review on the Gamescast, right, that this is a weird game. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that people want to get weird with it. And I appreciate, though, Twinfinite being like, I wish there was more weirdness, which was one of my critiques,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, your critique with that, and go watch the review on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, the Gamescast episode. But I thought it was interesting that you're kind of struggling between wanting more of the weird stuff and being appreciative of how little weird stuff there is, because
right.
it feels so great when you get it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of rough. But maybe a sequel.
Yeah, but again, like, it's back to the conversation of that we had on the Gamescast. Is that enough? Did they do it right? Because they did. It happened, right? Like, I did enjoy it. Like, I still didn't copy to a USB for you to see, but yeah. I did, after talking about the Gamescast, go home and watch that moment I was talking about on the Gamescast that I recorded. I was like, I gotta see that again just to see how great it was.
Speaking of reviews and hype and stuff, I know we have one more question. I just want to give a shout
out. Dude, take your time.
Astral Chain reviews came out.
Oh, yeah, that's
well.
Killing it, right?
Yeah. At 89 on Metacritic right now. IGN gave it a 9. Game Informer gave it a 9. Twinfinite 4.5. A ton of Nintendo sites ranging in the 8.5 to 9 ranges. US Gamer 4. EGM 8.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Skimming through this, it seems like a lot of people kind of feel
the same
way.
Give me some, because now I forgot about this. This would be a good roundup, because obviously I was working from what I know and what I reviewed, but you also talked at length about Astral Chain.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Astral Chain.
Astral Chain.
Let me go to IGN here. Astral Chain is another excellent game from Platinum and one of the best action games of this generation, period. Fighting off alien invaders with a Legion robot by your side proves to be even more fun than it looks, which is saying a lot. Even outside of combat, the world and its characters brim with life, other than the main protagonist, that is. Excellent pacing artfully balances tense action with enticing exploration to create a deeply satisfying and charmingly quirky ride. Similar to what I was saying, it's weird that the main character like doesn't talk, doesn't really emote. There's so many things around you, especially when you have a twin brother or sister.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you're just kind of using them as me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so that was kind of weird for me. Game Informer says, I had a blast playing Astral Chain and didn't want it to end. Platinum has created a wonderful new universe for players to dive into that I could see extending into anime, movies, and hopefully sequels. The dual character gameplay is also brilliantly devised, and although not as difficult as Platinum Games' other titles, creates a duet that makes you feel like a powerful, unstoppable force. Absolutely. That is all.
Yeah.
So true. It's really, when you get into the vibe and the groove of attacking with your legion and yourself at the same time, tying people up in chains, it's just, you feel powerful, and it's really good. The story may be the weakest part of the experience, given just how much it changes trajectory, but it has some legitimately great moments and a big twist I didn't see coming. All told, this is one hell of a game.
And you agree with that, right? You're enjoying the hell out of it?
Yeah, and it's the...
Even though you keep trying to tell me it's not a Greg Miller game, it sounds like I want it to be a Greg Miller game.
I really don't think it is.
But what if it could be?
I don't know, man.
I like action.
Give it a shot, then. I just think it's... I think it is. It's action, and if you don't gravitate towards the Devil May Cry type gameplay,
yeah,
this is a clunkier version of that until it clicks. Mm. And I just feel like there's like a learning curve with this that you almost need a... like pretty good experience with these type of games to understand
this is the deep end for me to wade into.
It's not so much the deep end as much as it's like it. There's a lot of mechanics that I don't think off the bat are intuitive, and it takes a little bit for it all to mesh where you're like, okay, now I'm in the vibe of getting this all together to be this like fluid like symphony of action.
Yeah.
Like whereas before you get to that, it does kind of feel like, all right, why do I only have one shooting button,
okay,
or like attack button? It's like I feel like I should have a light and heavy because you're used to that.
Okay,
but once you like kind of break through that and figure like, oh, this is a platinum game and it plays like a platinum game, it's just adding like different layers to it, and you are controlling the dual characters and all that. It's great. I just think that if you, knowing you,
yeah, it's you know
like
me, you know me,
the games like Bayonetta and Devil May Cry don't click for you. I think that this one's gonna be a hard sell, especially because the beginning is kind of weird. Okay. And like the beginning does the opposite of what you're talking about with the boss fight stuff, where it starts with this weird motorcycle chase thing that is not indicative of the gameplay. Mm. And it's not great. It's hype and epic and anime, though. And that's, I was like, I'm in. This is so ridiculous and stupid, because quickly it got to a point of the actual platinum style gameplay that I'm like, cool. Like, I see where we're at now. That might as well have been a cinematic. Like, that was just like the intro to
the actual action. Gotcha.
But I'm happy it's reviewing this well.
No. Okay, good. I'm still gonna try it. You can't
give it
stop
a shot,
me.
Man. No,
you
hey,
can't
stop I'd me. Love to hear your thoughts.
I don't want to see you stop me, and I don't want to see you try to stop me, because Kevin, he can't stop me. No, Kevin's shaking his head. No, he knows he can't stop me. Mm-hmm. I want to get nanobiologists involved. He wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hi, Greg and Tim. So, Control. How does it compare to other Remedy games? What kind of improvements do you hope for? Is there a clear line where DLC fits in, like omitted content or wall that is, will clearly be a door to the future? Or is it vague enough that the story will go to the next DLC content? Can't wait for more, since I'm excited to play the next Remedy game." Can you Google for me? Have they talked about DLC for it? Because obviously it would make sense to you. You know, the game, no spoilers, ends in a way where it's like, cool, you're still going to run around the oldest house. Obviously, they can, like you're saying, patch in all sorts of weird mystical doors or things that'll pop into it.
Control post-launch plans include 2 premium expansions and some free updates. This comes from VG247. There's going to be 2 expansions, and there's going to be some content in between the main game and the expansions. But the main concern right now is just getting Control done, make it as good as it can be. On a high level, we know what the expansions are, but we're really going to get to that once we
ship. So that's a comment from Remedy, okay.
Yeah, that is a comment from Remedy Communications Director Thomas Puha,
friend of the show. Is it clear where the DLC fits in? No. I think they close up where they are, but then there's more for work for you to do. But I can easily see, without spoiling stuff, the Hiss doing something else. This happens, you know, a new object of power shows up and that screws up the world. I'm sure they get more abilities, I would assume, with it. And that's all great news, because again, it's a world I want to keep exploring. I want to keep doing things in.
The last quote he has here is, "We had a bunch of ideas 2 or 3 years ago that we can't execute right now, of course, because there's a million ideas for the game. Hopefully we can revisit some of those in the expansions. I think we've said that the first one we're aiming for is winter 2019, so somewhere there."
Okay.
"I get that there's some concern that people are like, oh, they're cutting content already from the game. No, we're not."
Yeah, it does. I feel like this feels like a complete game. I don't think it's left to open where it's like Prince of Persia, you're going to download the real DLC down the line. Remember that?
What a disaster. God,
that was a fun game up until that point.
Great game.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
I think you'll be fine there. And then how does it compare to other Remedy games? Like, I feel like it, and I think you've seen this in a lot of the reviews, I think it's them capitalizing and growing from everything they've done before. I feel, as a Quantum Break fan, I see a lot of Quantum Break in this, in terms of obviously the realism, the way they went through capturing, the way they try to tell their stories. Mm-hmm. But in the same breath, I think the powers that Jesse has and the ability to, you know, hover, the ability to use your telekinesis, shoot stuff around, it feels like a step forward for them in terms of combat, obviously. Because I think, you know, Max Payne, obviously, back in the day with Bullet Time, sure, that was a different thing. Alan Wake just having the flashlight and then the gun. That was, you know, a weird horror aspect thing. Quantum Break, as you started getting the weirder and weirder abilities, this is more weird than that and using what they'd expect from
it. Let's get weird.
Let's get weird, y'all. Speaking of getting weird, strap in, everybody. So let's talk about Ion Fury. And that will not be the first time I screwed this up. You might remember Ion Fury, right? From when they were originally Iron Maiden and then got in a lawsuit with Iron Maiden. Remember this? You remember
That's
this?
Right.
Or am I confusing this with a different one? This was them, right? Give me a Google on that to make sure I'm not pointing it out. What is do Iron Maiden, Iron Fury, make sure I'm new. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I know you'll be all over me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure these are the same people, right?
Iron Maiden files $2 million lawsuit over Iron Maiden video game.
Okay. And then they changed their name to Iron Fury, right? And that's where we're at?
Iron Maiden.
Iron Fury.
Yes.
It's perfect. Just making sure I have it all lined up. Because you would think that'd be the craziest thing in this game's development slash release, but it is not. So I'm going to read you, and you know that I hate doing this, so please go give a click. I'm going to read the entirety of Matt Kim's article over at IGN, right? We're going to start with the original story, then we're going to double back to the update that came through this morning. So to begin with, Voidpoint. The developers behind Iron Fury apologized after it was revealed the team made sexist and transphobic statements in their developers' Discord channel. The team also added homophobic language into Iron Fury itself. In a pair of statements from Voidpoint and publisher 3D Realms, the two companies said it will patch out the offensive language from the game, and Voidpoint promised to pledge $10,000 to the LGBT nonprofit The Trevor Project. Over the weekend, a Reset Era forum thread published screen captures from the Voidpoint Discord channel that showed the Ion Fury developers making disparaging comments towards the LGBT community, specifically the trans community. In one screen cap, Ion Fury lead developer Terminix, is that how you say it? Terminix? There you go. Writes, quote, "Yeah, if you're trying to decide your child is trans at birth, you have mental problems and probably shouldn't be a parent, in my opinion." In another screen cap, a different Ion Fury developer, Daedalon, thank you, asked, quote, "But mutilating a perfectly healthy body while you have depression and other big mental issues won't cause suicides?" IGN reached out to Voidpoint and Ion Fury publisher 3D Realms regarding the validity of these Discord chat conversations, and Voidpoint responded this to be the case in a statement. Voidpoint also admitted to adding homophobic language to the game itself. Quote, "Members of Voidpoint's Ion Fury team have made sexist and transphobic comments and included homophobic language in Ion Fury," writes Voidpoint. In a full statement, the developers apologized for their comments and pledged to donate $10,000 from Ion Fury's release day proceeds to the Trevor Project. Here's Voidpoint's full statement below. Quote, "We recognize these statements are insensitive, unacceptable, and counterproductive to causes of equality. We unequivocally apologize both for these comments and language as well as any pain they may have caused the gaming community, particularly to women and members of the LGBTQ community. We take full responsibility for any damage that has been done to the relationships we've worked so hard to build. Moving forward, Voidpoint will institute a zero-tolerance policy for this type of language, and all employees and contractors will undergo mandatory sensitivity training. As part of our efforts to contribute to the work that must be done to further support these communities, we are donating $10,000 from Ion Fury's release day proceeds to the Trevor Project. We are also patching Ion Fury ASAP to remove all unacceptable language." Ion Fury publisher 3D Realms also issued a statement saying that in the future, 3D Realms will sever relationships with any developer that breaks the company's zero tolerance policy for hate speech. Quote, "It has come to our attention, Voidpoint, the developers of Ion Fury, have been accused of making transphobic and misogynistic statements and included homophobic language in the game, which was not approved by us. Under current leadership, 3D Realms has taken pride in empowering marginalized groups, as evident by our strong female protagonist, Shelly Bombshell Harrison, and the makeup of our team. Moving forward, all 3D Realms contracts will include terms which will allow us to sever relationships if a contractor does not abide by our zero-tolerance policy for hate speech, and Ion Fury will be patched ASAP to remove all unacceptable language." Ion Fury was released on August 15th, 2019, PC, and goes on to blah, 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 right?
Great. This sounds like it all makes a lot of sense.
This happened last week, as I said. I don't have the original date anymore because the story's been updated. I remember seeing it go through, and I remember looking at it, okay, I went to the Reset Era thread that was linking, because even this article, right, is being very general about what exactly was said. Obviously, it's got the Discord screen caps. But, like, what's the homophobic language in the game? Are we coming away from it, right? That'll all come into play here in a second. But I read through it. I was like, okay, seems like it's already settled. It seems like we all know hate speech is bad and being homophobic and transphobic is bad. Like, yeah, that's not a not a cool thing. Don't put that in your game.
And good steps taken forward for future proofing.
They're taking care of it.
Just like, hey, like, we're, you know, this is a problem. The Trevor Project thing, great gesture. Whatever, but really, I think the more zero tolerance going forward, we're putting this in the contracts. Like, that is them being like, look, we really stand by this and believe in this, and them and the 3D Realms, right?
Right.
Like, looking at
developer and
like,
publisher. Yeah,
yeah. We're not fucking around with this.
So now strap in, because here comes the whip fucking lash from this morning. Right. Update. In a new post on Steam from Terminix, lead developer on Ion Fury, a joint statement was shared from both Voidpoint and 3D Realms stating that they will not be removing any homophobic content from Ion Fury, counteracting what was vocalized previously after the developers made transphobic and sexist remarks in their Discord channel. The statement can be read below. This is still Matt King about IGN. Great reporting, by the way. Joint statement from Voidpoint and 3D Realms. We've caused a recent controversy suggesting Ion Fury game content was to be censored. We will absolutely not, in all caps, be censoring Ion Fury or any of our other games now or in the future, including but not limited to by removing gags such as gaming's most controversial face wash. We do not support censorship of creative works of any kind and regret our initial decision to alter a sprite in the game instead of trusting our instincts. 3D Realms and Voidpoint stand together on this matter. Last but not least, please respect our need to keep our community forums clean from hateful messages, spam, or off-topic threads. We recognize our mistake and have received your message loud and clear.
Yikes and a half, man.
And so here's where you need to, I think there's like three different bullet points here in terms of the trouble of the issues, right? What they're talking about, best I can discern from this from the specific statement and what we'll bring in from their Twitter of their responses, right, is they're talking about the shampoo bottle. This is the one that was the most egregious one, where it was a bottle made to look like an Olay bottle, but instead said O-gay. All one word, O-gay. That was a lot of people's first reaction of like, wait, why are they using gay this way? What's going on? That's bullet point number one, is the shampoo bottle that was out there for everyone.
Can I stop you there? Asking about that. Like, that to me seems weird. It just seems like changing a letter. Like, I don't see the relationship with gay there.
Well,
he says exactly the controversial facial gags. It's like, okay, so you did mean it
exactly,
that way.
Exactly. And this is the problem. So stick with it. I want to lay out the bullet points before we start taking them down. Number one, Olay O-gay. Number two, all this Discord shit where they're talking. Like, in the IGN has, you know, the parts we pulled. There's more. You can go to Reset Era. You can see it if you want. But it's like talking about SJWs and talking about, you know, this. Everybody's getting offended by everything culture. And then the third is this. The homophobic stuff outside of that, that's developer only. And I'm not a, you know, hardcore PC player or anything like this to this moment. When you go to another Reset Era thing and you see it, if you put on some, I think it's called no clip thing, I don't think it's related to Dandy in any way, but whatever, you can clip through a wall that you wouldn't be able to, and then behind it you can see a bunch of words that have been written there, and one of them uses the F word, you know what I mean, slang for gay people, with followed by bag. Now, so that's all happening right there, right? And those are the three points to bring in. I want to then go over to the Twitter here, right? So we're over here. Okay, so an hour ago, Voidpoint, their Twitter is on fire responding to people and talking to people about this, right? Very, I think, aggressively personally, but also answering the questions people are bringing up, right? So the F bag, this is Voidpoint now, no, I'm paraphrasing. I'm directly reading it, but I'm not saying the full thing. The F bag thing is a legitimate error made by a developer who doesn't even live in an English speaking country. It wasn't a joke, political statement, or anything else. I asked him if it would be offensive in his country. He said no. I believe him. He removed it. So again, that one there, where there's actually a slur, whatever its intent is behind it, they are taking it out. Done.
That's a perfect example of how I think this should be handled. Of like, hey, didn't mean it that way. Like, here it's fine, but it's a problem there. We don't need a problem.
Right.
We don't need this thing on the wall that doesn't add to the art of this game.
Right. And so then is where we get into this murky situation with the O-gay thing, right? Where
is there a picture of this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, there is. I'm trying to figure out in right now through my head the easiest way to get you the images of what we're talking about. I mean, if you just, well, just Google probably.
Yeah.
Okay. Ion Fury, you'll find it, I would assume. If not, I can dig around, but it's going to slow me down as I talk about all this stuff, right? So now we're back to the bottle, right? And you nailed it yourself, right? I think, Tim, of, oh, here, Kevin's got it. Yeah. Made it look like an Olay bottle, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, wait, I mean, if you think there's editorial merit, I mean, I don't care. It's just like, yeah, whatever.
I
show
think
it.
We should talk about
there
this.
You go. It's a bottle that says okay.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
that gay does look more pronounced than I expected it to.
I mean, like,
oh, it is
we don't even have to sit here and like try to sit, go. My takeaway from it originally was this, and why I think it's so multi-layered.
Mm-hmm.
Where when I first heard about it and I saw the thing last week and it was like, oh, gay is in this thing, and people are like homophobic, right? I was like, it can't just be the oh gay thing, right? Like, what are you going, like, I don't understand what's going on. And that's when you get into the, okay, in the back there's the F word, you know, and then it falls into the same thing of the way they're talking on Discord, right? Is then influencing what you're taking away and what you're interjecting into the Olay thing.
Well, I mean, more than that, like, it's case closed with him saying the gag and whatever. Yep. It's like, it was a joke. And they were doing that on purpose to elicit a response.
And like, this is way back to the hill I will die on all the time stuff. It comes down to intent.
Yeah.
And it's what they say, too, in one of their tweets, right? Where, like, again, I think very aggressively, and I understand they're being attacked, so they want to be aggressive. They talk, control F, intent. Here it goes. Going the developer Voidpoint going back and forth with somebody as they're going arguing about this, right? And so this person Mike is not a fan, but somebody on Twitter. Just so I understand, you believe that making a joke where you replace a part of a name with the word "gay" for a laugh is not you making a homophobic joke? Like, are you a dev team of 8-year-olds? You know it's 2019 and not the 90s, right? And Voidpoint's response there is, "I believe in a concept called intent." And this is where I get back to and I struggle with of, so what is the intent of this? And well, this is where, if I can just go for one second, where, again, when I saw it point blank, Olay becomes okay, people saying homophobic. And again, this is before I knew any of the background stuff and any of the Discord stuff. My initial reaction was this. Black and white, looking at okay on a bottle, I do not think that's homophobic. However, I am not a gay person and I don't understand or understand. I can't, on that level, empathize with seeing that word put out in a joking fashion, what that means to them, to a homosexual, to a gay person, right? Because, again, this then drives back to my point that I always make on this show, right? Of when I was growing up and when I went to college, I thought it was totally fine to call things I didn't like gay. If anybody ever asked me, I'm like, oh, I don't mean gay. I mean, it's just dumb, right? And it wasn't until, I know this is such a trite conversation, but this is how people understand that they're making transgressions. My first gay friend in college, Graham, heard me call Jason X gay. And he's like, what do you mean by that? And sat me down and talked to me and explained, like, that's not, this hurts my feelings and it hurts a whole bunch of feelings and it makes you look dumber than you are. Not that, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, it makes you look more regressive than you are as a person. Like, that's not, you're using the word wrong, right? And so, black and white, is this homophobic? I'm like, I don't think so. It's a really dumb thing. It's a really dumb joke. What is the point of your, like, that's the thing, is it's literally someone making a video game and publishing a video game, making a joke I would have made, I guess, in high school of, oh man, it's funny to turn Olay into okay. And that's funny, yeah, because why?
I don't know if there's, yeah, that's the thing. It's the
why
because
is that
why
funny?
Thing. Because for me, it's just like, hey, we don't want to get sued or whatever. Like, we might as well not risk it. Olay, just change it to something else. And it's just like, it could have been any other letter, A-Y, and it would have been not an issue.
Yeah.
They chose G, and it happens to be that way. The fact is, then it becomes, the moment that you're like, oh yeah, we thought it was funny, it's like, you motherfuckers, like, that's really not good.
And
because if people were like, oh, there's a problem, like, yo, hey, it was just a letter, and then they just changed the letter, that would have been it. That
and that's
been
the thing, end. A long time ago, we talked about this show a lot recently, it feels. You've told me over and over again, I got to stop believing the good of people, right? But is it, so are, is everything getting taken so out of context right now that it's not the, what was the intent of our joke? The intent of our joke was we changed the name Olay to something else. And it's funny because you know it's Olay. Or is the intent of the joke, oh, gay, we put gay in there. And it's funny because you wouldn't call this stuff gay. Or is it that, hey, we don't like gay people? So, you know, I mean, like,
yeah.
And they're not explaining that part. They're bringing up, I believe, in the concept called intent.
Now, so that's the
what
problem,
what was the intent
though,
of this?
Is it? I think that based on their reaction to this and based on everything we're seeing, their intent was not the first one, which I think is innocuous and fine. Where the joke is, we're just renaming the thing so that we can use it in our game, right?
Yeah.
People know it's Olay. That's the joke. It's Olay, but it's not Olay. The moment that the gay stuff gets brought into it at all, obviously, that there's a totally different level of intent there.
Yeah.
And their statements, let alone the statements made on the Discord and all that stuff, obviously that is bad. But them coming and be like, we're not censoring, we're not changing. It's like, okay, cool. It's clear where you stand on this. Like that, then there is a problem all of a sudden. And the thing to me here that I think is really interesting that, like, I'm definitely making some leaps here.
Jump to conclusions, Matt.
But last but not least, please respect our need to keep our community forums clean from hateful messages, spam, or off-topic threads. We recognize our mistake and have received your message loud and clear. So you tell me you're about to be like, blocking forum threads and like stopping this conversation, aka censoring the conversation when it's negative towards you. Like, what a joke.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, when it's in our game, it's totally fine. But there, again, I'm leaping there, but that kind of spells that out, right? Please respect our need to keep our community forums clean. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah,
and this is the problem when it comes down to this. We see this here with 3D Realms and Voidpoint, right? Or 3D Realms and Ion Fury.
Voidpoint. Yeah.
Many people work at both those places. Those people have different ideologies. We see that clashing here. Some people heard this news were like, "Fuck, we need to get ahead of this and be on the right side of this." Trevor Project, and we're banning this stuff, and going forward, we're putting this in the contracts and all that. Then there's the other guys that stand by this free speech shit, and they're just like, nope, we're going to stand by this. We are not censoring anything ever. Like, I'm sure there's a war going on in that office right now, offices, whatever they are, of people that are angry at each other for putting this out, because the more statements that are so definitive are put out by these different publishers and developers, it's just going to create a bigger rift between them. And that's where we see everything with politics. And that's the reason it's so difficult to talk about these things. But at the end of the day, when it comes down to this, it's like, I truly believe there is a right and a wrong. Don't treat people poorly. And it's just like, don't get so caught up in stuff that's going to bother people or hurt people. It's not affecting your art. It's not affecting your game. This isn't censorship on a level that matters at all to you. You just want to be a dick.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. This isn't censoring the message, right? That's what the thing is, where censorship gets caught up in, and outrage culture and SJWs and all the shit you want to throw around about, right? The long and short of it here is that if the joke is that you change the name, you can change it to anything. Don't change it to something that brings up
Omay.
And then you got an Aunt May joke going. I love it. But like, don't bring it up to something that people do get screamed at them in a way to hurt them. Like that's, you know what I mean? And that's removing the intent from it that it was a negative intent. Mm-hmm. If it was the intent that, like, hey, gay is a funny word, gay is not a word you see much anymore? Like, okay, what? That's not even a funny joke. Like, why would you do that? Like, it doesn't make any sense what they're arguing in so many different ways. And that, censorship, this is a broad statement, is bad for the most part, right? But again, it's not. This honestly is another story from Greg Miller's past that I remember of. That, and this is a fucking walk, but on IGN's blogs, when I first got started, whatever, right? Like at IGN, we still had IGN Babes, which then became Stars, which then finally got shuttered, right? But IGN Babes would put up like swimsuit models or whatever, right? And I remember going through, building the pages, do whatever. You click around, you see stuff, and clicking on this one girl that one day or whatever, and she had broken blood vessels in her eyes. And stick me with them because this is stupid, right? And I remember, I needed blog content for that day because I wanted to blog every day on IGN. And I screen capped it and then made a reference to 28 days later. So 28 weeks later, right? Mm-hmm. Was the one where, remember, if you were infected, your eye was all fucked up. And then if you kissed him, then it got spread. I think the mom did it that way. Spoilers for 28 weeks later. Anyways. Put up my blog that was basically that model's I was like, don't kiss that model's name. And then I was like, 28 days later, I got the thing in her eye. You know what I mean? And months later, Tao of IGN called me into his office, right? And was like, hey, man, this is a weird one for all of us. But you put up this blog about this woman and her manager just called and is asking us to take it down because when you Google her name, it's the first thing that comes up now.
God damn it.
Greg. And I remember totally being like, I won't be censored. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? No, I just came from journalism school and I, you know, da, 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 blah, 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 blah. And Tao being like, wise beyond his ears, being like, this really is a censorship. You understand that? Like, you're not like, you didn't fuck, you're not, you know, cracking the president over here with some investigative journalism. You made a cheap joke about this woman and now it's like really fucking up her name searches. Mm-hmm. And I was like, blah, 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 and I won't do it or whatever. And so like, I didn't do it. And I regret not doing that. 100%. Yeah. And it's that thing of IG. First off, those blogs all got nuked, right? Like you can't even look at anything anymore. So like good riddance to bad rubbish. But I'm sure there's a Wayback Machine and all this other shit that's still there. I can't even log in to get it or whatever. I don't know. And I'm sure she's fine and moved on with her life. This didn't, I hope, ruin her existence.
I'm sure.
But like,
that's
what
just
the fuck
phrase.
Was I thinking?
I'm sure
what?
It's a phrase I've never heard, Greg, but I love that you just dropped good riddance to bad rubbish.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's
wow.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, like, what a stupid fucking thing.
Yeah.
What a
self, dig your heels
what a,
in.
What a stupid fucking selfish thing Greg Miller could do there, right? Of not at all thinking about the repercussions of this person. Because what was I thinking, too? The blog that's been up for a month, 2 months, is still getting traffic. Like, that's like people are still fucking clicking on this stupid fucking joke I made. No, this is a stupid fucking joke that hurts and offends people. So why dig your heels on it? Of we won't be censored. What the fuck does that mean? Well, it's your game looks like a new Doom, like a new old Doom. Like what the? Just take old gay. Take old gay out of it.
Yeah.
Why? And like, it's not like people are gonna keep coming and nickeling and diming you for other things you've said in the game. Like, if this was a joke that was just about it's funny because it's not Olay, it can be funny about not being anything else, right? I don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And even that was the thing, too, where I saw the people who are in the comments or whatever who are like, yeah, fucking totally don't fucking do this, blah, blah, blah. Somebody was like, you should patch it to be soy or whatever, soy, like making fun of soy boys or whatever, which, of course, if you didn't know, I'm apparently a soy boy, even though I'm not in the image, which really pisses me off. You ever seen this image?
Mm-mm.
There's an image that when people want to throw it on the soy boy thing, and it's got like Jack Patillo in it. It's got a whole bunch of people we know of fucking overweight white guys, beards and glasses going. And I'm like, I do that in every fucking photo. Put me in it. If you're gonna be so bottom left, there, that's one of them. Yeah, you see, well, maybe that's not the one I'm thinking of. Is Jack in that one? You see, no, that's Jesse. Oh, there's Jack. That's it. That's the one. All right. If you're gonna be so low hanging fruit as to toss this at me, to be like, you know, as the new SJW thing, fucking put me in the image.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got Drew Murray in there, formerly a Double Fine. What has he been doing? He's not out here podcasting saying this stuff's bad. I'm sure he thinks it's bad.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Anyways, and I was like, you know what? That would actually be the best fucking response you could do.
Totally.
You know what? We didn't change it. We changed it to soy or soap.
Yeah.
That's how it was. It was soap, but soap.
Mm.
Like, there you go.
Yeah.
If that's the joke you want to make, sure.
Get
that's good. Get them, everybody. We did it and we got you, fuckers. Instead of doing this, I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy, though. I don't know if you noticed it. Every day the video game news gets weirder and weirder. Remember when we just talked about if it was good or bad?
Yeah.
It's just
that was
about
a long time ago, Greg.
God.
It's been a while.
Number three on the Roper Report, the Persona franchise has crossed 10 million copies sold. This is Jeff Grubb over at VentureBeat. It has taken nearly a quarter of a century, but the Persona series has hit 10 million copies sold. That includes all games in the series, the main Persona role-playing adventures, as well as the spin-offs like Dungeon Crawler Persona Q2. Developer Atlus revealed the milestone in a blog post on its official Japanese Persona website today. It also revealed that it's planning to hold an event to reveal more about the upcoming Persona 5 Royal, which is revamped version of Persona 5 RPG. Royal is due out on PlayStation 4 on October 31st in Japan, as Lucy James from GameSpot broke wide open a couple weeks ago. It's coming west in spring 2020. And it is certainly going to add to Persona's sales going forward. Congratulations, Persona.
Yeah.
Could talk about an article up today of like, I tweeted it. I basically I feel personally attacked of like the games you love but never beat. Then they use the Persona 5 image. I'm like, yeah, maybe Royal will be the one.
Yeah.
Royal's supposed to, you know, improve a whole bunch of different stuff, including pacing. Maybe that'll be when I bite down and commit.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin doesn't buy it for a second. I don't know. Put it on Switch. Let me live, you know, Tim?
I just want you to live, dude.
So there's some good news for Persona fans or whatever. Live.
I got some good news for Final Fantasy fans
as
well.
Number four on the Roper Report.
Also sales related. I wonder how related these things are. I doubt it, but it is a little coincidentally timed that these stories fall back to back. Final Fantasy VIII Remastered. There's rumors that it was going to get a physical release as well, but Square Enix Japan was like, no, not today. and probably not ever. It'll only be sold digitally. This is zero surprise. This comes from FinalFantasyUnion.com. There's zero surprise since Final Fantasy IX's remaster was only released digitally as well, and games are rarely released physically for under $40 when it comes to Square and the remastered series. That's why we did see the physical of 10 and 10 2, because they were able to justify that. In addition, Square also announced that Final Fantasy VIII, this is the news, this is the reason I put it in here, Final Fantasy VIII has now surpassed over 9.6 million copies sold worldwide, making it the third best-selling Final Fantasy of all time.
Wow.
That's pretty damn shocking to me. Yeah. Gotta be real. So we got 7, then we got 10, then we got 8. Now, the thing that's weird about 10 is they haven't updated their sales numbers since the re-release that they did the remastered on even the back on PS3, and it's now been put on PC, PS3, PS4, Vita, Xbox One, Switch. Like, it's been in many, many, many more places, so we're still not including those numbers. But 7, 10, totally get. Those games are seminals. Like, people love them. Definitely, like, the beloved ones that everyone talks about. 8, I'm surprised is this high because it is probably the most... It's the Last Jedi of Final Fantasies, where people either love it or hate it. And I think especially coming after 7.
How many people say it ruined their childhood?
8. So maybe it's not the Last Jedi. I don't know. People would say 7 ruined their childhood. But it's interesting to me that 8 would be that high. 9.6 million. And it's about to make even more now. With the re-release. I can't believe this game's actually coming out again.
Yeah, you excited? Are you excited? Yeah. Where do you come down on
it? Never been my favorite. I like the characters. I like the music and the vibe. I didn't like the Gambit system. Didn't really like the battles. And I didn't like the look of it. So, yeah, it kind of just fell by the wayside for me.
Okay.
I'm a 7 guy on the PlayStation generation, which makes me the most basic bitch of basic bitches.
Sure, I understand.
But hey. Like what you like.
Like what you like. Yeah. Video games are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, I can't wait to see what next video game will be cool, but video games are still so far away. If I want to know what came out to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today!
Oh. Last bit I wanted to give on that. For context, Final Fantasy 15 hit 8.4 million. So Final Fantasy VIII, at being the third highest selling one, is at 9.6. So that's actually pretty close.
Okay, fair. I'll take it.
So good on you, Final Fantasy 15.
Out today! P-Toon's Party, the multi-awarded local multiplayer game for up to 4 players, is now available in the Americas on PlayStation 4 consoles. That's it! Nobody wanted to get in the way of Control reviews and Astral Chain reviews and Ancestor reviews, which are not looking hot. New dates for you, though. Elder Scrolls Online, Scalebreaker, Dungeon DLC, and Update 23. Go live tomorrow. Hell of Men, Blood Brothers, is coming to Steam on September 23rd. Ashen, the critically acclaimed action RPG, is coming to PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and Steam December 2019. And then... Bill Roseman, friend of the show, Marvel Games, tweeted this. Daily Bugle breaking news. Unveiled today during Marvel Minute. Here's the free costumes for Spider-Man, symbiote suit, Hulk, Planet Hulk, and Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, hitting Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 on August 30th.
Wow.
We knew we were getting those costumes. We didn't know what they looked like, though. There you go.
There you go.
Pretty stoked for the symbiote. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Remember the symbiote? Remember Venom?
I don't know.
Now we get to see Venom fight Spider-Man. That's pretty cool. You stoked about that? Huh? You excited about that, everybody? Huh? Here's the question at 4A, since I won't be on screencast probably. I saw this on Reddit. It's bad, right? It's bad news. Spider-Man's out of the MCU. We're all sad. But if the next Spider-Man movie is Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, whatever his fucking name
Garfield.
Is. Yeah, and then Tobey Maguire.
If it's a live-action Spider-Verse, that's those three, is it worth it?
Yeah.
No.
Not worth it, but it'd be cool, right? It'd be cool.
That would be cool. It is not worth it.
Don't get me wrong. It's not the world
the
I
question.
Want.
That's the question.
Deal of the day for you. Chris Reed over at IGN reports this good news. Xbox One owners. Right now, Microsoft is offering a 2-month subscription of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate for just $2. But before you go throwing your cash at the screen, you'll want to consider banking up to 3 years of Xbox Live Gold in your account first. That's because the moment you subscribe to Game Pass Ultimate, all of your prepaid months of gold get converted to Game Pass Ultimate. And since Ultimate costs a lot more than gold, you can save a heap of money this way. While getting access to many excellent games at no additional cost. You can go to IGN and read the entire article on how they're doing this and gaming the system. Tim?
Yeah.
It's time for Reader Mail. But first,
I do not understand that at all.
I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. I know it's very complicated.
It sounds like a good deal, though.
That's why I was like, hey, you want to go? If you have interest, you go to IGN.
This sounds like some Tim Getty shit where I'd go up to you and be like, Greg.
Right now, give me your credit card. Give me your credit card. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, got it. Our sponsors for Reader Mail. Let's start with Brooklinen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care, and when you spend a third of your life in your sheets, don't you want those sheets to be insanely comfortable? So, when you sleep well on hotel-quality sheets that don't cost an arm and a leg, people are loving and recommending Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen sheets were named the winner of the best of the online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. Raving reviews from Business Insider, Apartment Therapy, and Men's Health. 35,000 plus five-star reviews, more than any other online bedding company, and 500,000 sleepers, happy sleepers and counting. You, of course, know I love my Brooklinen sheets. You've heard about them. You've seen them on Instagram. Every time you see Portillo in my bed, it's a photo of him on my Brooklinen sheets. Mm-hmm. They were easy to go to Brooklinen.com, mix and match, and get great stuff. These are luxury sheets, towels, bedding, and more without the luxury markup. Brooklinen was the first DTC, that's direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with manufacturers and directly with consumers. No middleman, just a great product and service. My Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on, and their towels have turned my bathroom into a spa. I couldn't recommend them more for my friends, family, or treating yourself.
I need to get the towels.
You're missing out.
I don't like
see, I assumed
towel.
You already had them.
Sheets.
I assumed you already had them.
Sheets. I don't have the towels, no.
No, you're missing out, though. Yeah. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product and their sheets, that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever. Up next is Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy, getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Mm-hmm. You've heard it before with me, guys. I got a loan when I got out here. It was a pain in the butt. I had a bad rate. These guys give you the good rate. Because Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smart interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just a credit score. They believe in you and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. And the best part, once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or make large purchases. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit score. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Now, imagine my shock, ladies and gentlemen, when I opened up the Kind of Funny Games mailbag, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and found it overflowing with questions related to D23.
Woo!
You pretty stoked about that? Because I know you love that D23
business. I wonder how this could relate to this show.
Because everybody wants to know about video games and all the other stuff, right? So let's go. So what is D23 away. If people don't know?
First D23 though? Is Disney's biannual. Is that when it's every other year? Convention? Biannual,
yeah,
it could also mean twice a year.
That's why it gets complicated. So, I remember I ran a bi-monthly paper and people were like, oh, so it's twice. I'm like, no, it's every other month.
Real dumb. It's every other year there is a Disney celebration, the sure. D23 experience.
Yeah.
And they have panels and, you know, it's a convention. It's a fun meetup for everybody. But the main thing for us normies back home are the panels. There's usually a Walt Disney Studios panel that includes their animation division, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, live action, all of the stuff. This year was now a Disney Plus panel. There's usually panels for like focusing on Marvel Comics, focusing on like random Star Wars projects, focusing on the Disney parks is another big one that they do. So
okay. And so then the question would become, you know what the big deals should be? Video games. Two-Headed Giant says, do you think the Marvel Games slate will ever get near as big as the movie slate? Good morning, KFGD crew. The D23 announcements have been insane, adding even more Marvel shows and movies to the slate than originally revealed at SDCC. Unreal. That's crazy, right? She-Hulk.
Who the fuck would have thought?
Miss Marvel or Ms. Marvel.
Moon Knight, Greg.
Moon Knight!
Marvel Games is more or less just starting to get rolling in any major way, and with the Avengers game set to introduce gamers to a ton of new characters, do you think that Marvel Games will ever have a slate reveal like we saw this weekend at SDCC or for Phase 3 of video games? Since it's up in the air, if Marvel Games will even be connected to the MCU, and seeing how games are completely different beasts than movies altogether. I don't think we'll ever get 12 game announcements all to come out in a 3-year span of each other. However, I'm curious what you guys think. Thanks, Nathan Brand.
I don't think we'll ever see this, and especially now with Avengers being at the state that it's at, like where it's coming out very soon.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's already out. Like already development cycles are just off where this is a impossibility, right?
Yeah.
At least with the major guys, I guess they could make different games and put them out that way. We've talked a million times about how a shared universe in the same way that the movies work doesn't necessarily work for video games just because it takes much longer to make them, for them to come out at the same time. They're longer experiences, so you can't really rely too much on expecting everybody to play all of them. There's a lot of different things that go into that. However, I think marketing-wise, there'd be very few things as hype as a Marvel Games panel that is conducted similarly of, hey, here are the Marvel games you're going to be playing in the next couple years, and like make announcements next to each other. They raise the level of gravitas towards them, right? Like I think that talking, like debuting Spider-Man 2 next to Ultima Alliance 4 next to, you know, Ant-Man, whatever the hell game,
yeah,
on like Xbox exclusive or whatever it is, right? Putting those together kind of like makes it seem like they're all equally important. Right.
Yeah.
And I think having that type of like,
don't you think that like, I mean, I would love that too. You won't get there, right? Because Marvel Ultimate Alliance 4 and Spider-Man 2 are on a much different trajectory, probably in terms of turning them around, right? Mm-hmm. So doesn't the SDCC panel that I host, no offense, do that in a way? Because it is, here's Avengers, here's Iron Man, here's Ultimate Alliance 3.
It's more about announcements. You can't have this every year. It would have to be the
stars aligned.
I mean, here's the thing: like the stars aligned this year for MCU, where we got that lineup. The last time we got this was 4 years ago. 5 years ago, right? Where we like see like here's this and this,
yeah,
and this,
yeah,
and this.
Captain America.
You only get that once in a generation of, sure, of consoles.
Well,
right?
It's not even.
So imagine gear up for next gen: PS5, Xbox 2,
see,
whatever it is.
You're not wrong. Gearing up, it would just be a complete. You know, for Nathan's question, it would just be a complete rethinking of how we announce video games, which we've had a conversation on here before,
mm-hmm,
where I think to do this and do it right, because you're talking about, well, we don't have that every year. The stars lined up for it to happen. If the stars didn't line up, this is just how they do it. They do it in phases. They completed the phase. We have to announce the next phase, right?
Well, I still think that they lined up because of the nature of Infinity War and Endgame. Like, I think that if they weren't as pivotal as they were in terms of like capping everything, I think that we would have seen and heard about Black Widow a lot earlier.
Okay.
We would have had more rumblings about the future, but they had to be so quiet because they didn't want to spoil Endgame, right?
Yeah, I guess that's
true. Whereas
we were
in a different place for Phase 3, where it's like that was a natural progression going into where we're at.
I think you're going to keep seeing the phases from now on, though, like this, right?
I mean, yeah, I think they're committing to phases point. But there's a lot of questions we still have. Like, we'll see, where does Phase 4 end now? A lot of the things that they've said, they've already went back on within a month.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons, again, for why you won't see for video games unless we changed everything, is the fact that if they were to come out and do like, hey, we're Marvel Games, we're doing a giant panel here at Comic-Con, Greg's hosting you, and we're going to give you the next 5 years of games, right? Inevitably, some of those games would get canceled. Some of those games would get pushed. Some of those, you know, we get completely rehashed from what you saw.
That happened with MCU as well. Like, and that's gonna happen with Phase 4 as well.
And that's what I'm saying, though. That happens in movies, and we're all okay with it. We understand that these things change, move around.
Yeah.
Video games, you don't see that. The amount of video games you don't hear about officially before they get canceled, right?
Yeah.
You see they get leaked footage later on, something that happened,
that, like, we know about that get canceled. Like, that does happen.
Sure, but I think our industry, video games, is still way more gun shy about that. You know what I mean? You don't hear about a game a lot of times, an official announcement of a game nowadays, so it's what, 9 months away?
Yeah, but like in terms of it being canceled, I feel like it's just as common. If not, I feel like you hear about it more in games than in movies, because movies, it's like if it's happening, it's once it hits a certain point, it's happening.
No, but I think of it this way, I guess. We're in the same ballpark, but on different bases here. I'm saying like, we already heard about Batman or Ben Affleck's Batman script, and here's what's going on with the Cyborg movie and Ezra Miller's like all these movies that are never going to fucking happen, right? You hear about those from their genesis, from their meetings, right? Video games are not like that, where it's like, oh man, I heard Amy Hennig is starting to write this thing.
I don't agree with that, because it's like you don't hear about those things officially. That's leaked information. It's the same with video games, where it's like, oh man, someone on LinkedIn is working on a, like, they're hiring a narrative director for this. That means they're doing that. It's the same thing.
No, they announce writers and stuff on movies all the time.
But I mean, a lot of the times they don't. It's just like that information gets out there and then like, shit, well, it's out there now, right? Like, I mean, obviously movies are different because they work on such a different timeline.
Yeah.
But even then, it's still years. You know, that's why you hear about a lot of projects that end up not happening. But it's like a lot of those you're not supposed to hear about yet. And like those, like it's like, oh, that person's working on that. You only know that because somebody else said it. Variety said it. Variety didn't hear it from them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They got the real journalists. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to work on that a little more over here on the game side. Okay. Jason's doing his best. Yeah. Andy's doing his best.
Andy is doing his best. I definitely
going back understand. To the MCU thing. Marvel Games thing. Like what I'm saying is, how awesome would it be if, I mean, Marvel redefined how you announce movies, right?
Uh-huh.
With what they did that for Phase 3, Marvel Games can redefine that for games and just come out. Imagine, sure. Like, I understand it can't be 10 titles. Imagine if it was 3, and imagine if they came out and they were just like, hey, you've been waiting for this a long time. Here it is. Spider-Man 2 from Insomniac Games. Woo! And then they announce another game, like, give me a Marvel property.
Moon Knight.
It's like, and next up, Moon Knight. We see a logo. We see Xbox. Like
yeah.
That's the exclusive there. This is the exclusive here. And it's going to be developed by, and then have that reveal. It's like just reveal things differently. Like, what are the hype things people care about? In the same way that for the movies, there's a clear pattern of here's a title, here's a time frame, here's who's going to be in it. You know,
yeah.
It's just like who's developing it, and like have those big kind of like gut punch moments of Insomnia. And granted, there aren't that many studios that have that level of importance, you know.
Or sure, but people be stoked no matter what, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's an exciting thing. And I think that doing that and then having it, whatever, Play Dead or whatever, and so a smaller studio.
Yeah, right? Yeah, totally.
That would be like, oh,
camouflage.
Shit.
Like, camouflage you and Iron Man.
Totally. It'll make you be like, oh, I should know that name.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be an awesome way to do it.
It won't happen.
No.
But it'd be fucking cool.
BJ Bernardo writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hi, y'all. With this D23 stuff making me rock hard like Kevin's hot little brother Spencer, I would like to ask y'all a question. Which one of the new characters /series announced/talked about at D23 this weekend would make you want to see it turned into a game? A Gears of War-like Mandalorian game? An Assassin's Creed-like Winter Soldier game? A Sims 4-like Lizzie McGuire game? Thanks, BJ.
I'd want a Mandalorian game. I'm trying to think of a title, though.
Mandalorian.
What if it was like Star Wars? We need that in it. And then a couple numbers.
13-13.
That would be great.
That'd be a great game.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah. I would also want to see, just give me an Obi-Wan game. You know what I mean? Let's fill it in. Let's get Ewan McGregor on it.
Uh-huh.
Let's get out there and let's go do some what we
don't
want.
Don't need
stuff.
That as a game. We're getting it as a series, baby. I want fucking hyped, son.
I want to play. I want a Watto game. They better fucking bring back Watto. They got no excuse now. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, David Scott needs help in game development on Discord. His Discord is demonwaffle#6387. Hey, Greg and Tim. I have a different squad up. I'm looking for some game artists. From concept to 3D to environment. The game is a unique sci-fi shooter crossed with Battle Royale and Auto Chess. I'm the dev of Take Flight, a mobile game that Greg read on Out Today back in March, which was awesome. If any KFBFs are interested in collaborating or looking for contract work, please contact me via Discord. As always, thank you, David Scott. That's Demon Waffle. #6387 if you want to make a game with a kind of funny best friend. Tim,
yeah.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up today as we screwed it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Nanobiologist has a couple here. He says Final Fantasy X and X-2 were also out on PC. Tim didn't mention that on his list.
I hate you're wrong in that you're wrong because it makes me feel like an asshole.
But if he's wrong,
but I bet a pizza on this one that I did say PC.
Okay. Missed Out Today. WoW Classic is out today, apparently.
Oh, shit. That's a big one.
This is still Nanobiologist. The conversion rate from Xbox Gold to Ultimate is about 33% loss. So if you have a month of gold, you get 20 days of unlimited.
Of Ultimate.
Whatever. That still is too confusing. I don't understand what anybody's saying.
Good deal, though.
Oh, here we go. Capitalist Pig says biennial and biannual. These are two separate words. Biennial means every 2 years. Biannual means twice a year. No, you're wrong, according to Tim. Sorry about that.
No, not me. Kevin.
Hold on a second.
I can't be you're wrong in everyone.
You do the two below the thing I highlighted.
Oh, sorry. Charles Jacobs says a big game got canceled. Scalebound. Yes. Sorry. I'm just reading at this point. Chicks 18 says semi-weekly means twice a week. Bi-weekly means every other week. Semi-weekly. I don't know. Is that right? These words are hard, man. Yeah, semi. Oh, and hey, Google. I mean, if you Google the definition, semi-weekly says occurring twice a week. Wow. Here on Kind of Funny Games Daily, we like to teach you.
All right, it's not even a you're wrong. It's an update from Boars and Double Zero, taking me over to gamesindustry.biz, which is Rebecca Valentine's article, who now has a statement from 3D Realms on the whole tweet from earlier with Ion Fury, right? Stick with me. Here's the other thing. We at 3D Realms spoke with Void Point today, and they reaffirmed their commitment to honoring their original statement, including the donation to the Trevor Project and sensitivity training. However, the soap bottle will not be removed. The use of the word F-bag in an area that was inaccessible without hacking the game and was added by one developer without approval from anyone else was removed a few days ago. We once again apologize for this text, as it does not reflect the values of 3D Realms or Void Point. Jokes at the expense of marginalized communities will not be present in future games published by 3D Realms. However, a portion of our community made it loud and clear they felt removing "oh gay" was censorship and should be protected by free speech. Void Point wanted to listen, and we respected this decision.
What fucking garbage? Are you kidding me?
Get fucked.
Get fucked.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday. Let's run you through the rest of the week. Tomorrow will be Andrea and Fran, that's right. Wednesday, I forgot I'm doing something doing something game related tomorrow. Wednesday is me and Gary Witta. Wednesday is also the Kind of Funny Games cast, 2 p.m., patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It is myself, Tim Geddes, Fran Mirabella III, and Imran Khan, the newest hire at Kind of Funny. Thursday, it's Tim and somebody. Friday, it's Tim and somebody. Wow. I got some feelers out on that. Otherwise, it'll just be Andy, and he'll be all like, wow, man, I'm number one games journalist.
Whoa, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Questions, comments, all that gets sent there. You can watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Mm-hmm. You can watch it even later than that on roosterteeth.com and get it on podcast services around the globe. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.